bit new to this role, you get me? But alright, boom. You know, I'm gonna do the AA introduction.
And boom. So you need.
Welcome to the Rondo today. You know, I don't know what the date is. We're here on a Sunday after, you know, a very eventful Premier League weekend. We have some new people on set again, or new person, should I say. Welcome this weekend. We've got Joel, Arsenal fan, ref, United fan, and long-awaited debut for, you know, a Liverpool fan that has a lot of passion when it comes to this thing. Welcome, A Junior, to the show.
Man said A Junior. You need to behave yourself.
Yeah, you know.
Hey, scrap all that. My name's Toby. TA, call me what you want. You feel me? Not AA Junior.
That's
AA Pep Linders.
What's that Newcastle guy's name?
Tindall.
That's essentially who this is.
You might need to behave yourself.
Just for the fans that are watching.
Hey, listen, this is his first time hosting. Don't let him be too happy in it.
It's actually not my first time. It's my first time with you.
Why are you being nervous, bro?
He started already. Yeah? It's all good. But anyway, let's get into it, because our first topic of conversation is actually your team, innit? So I could be ready for this one, but
go ahead, bro.
What was your thoughts on the game yesterday? You guys obviously won in the 99th minute, somehow scummed a victory from a position where it didn't even seem like 3 points was possible, but you got it done. So what's your thoughts,
bro? All I'm gonna say is, if you don't believe, you gotta believe, man. You gotta believe now. That's what
quotables,
I'm
you know.
You have to believe. There's no way you can go 98 minutes. We had 2 shots on target, you know. I think we had like 16 shots, something stupid. Mm-hmm. We were getting blocked. Forrest were doing a good job just letting us have the possession. Like, obviously, Raf, when you man played them last week or like in the week, you could see that, bro, you man were horrible against them. They just let you man have the possession. That's the type of team Forrest is, isn't it? So more time, they just let us do our thing. And I can't lie, we were not producing. It's not until Dalwizzy came on, you feel me, and changed things up. You can see the people call him a chaos baller, yeah, but what he does, runs, gets in behind, just causes just a big problem. Like, you can see from then, and when Endo came on as well, I can't lie, the game just shifted, man, in terms of...
relying on Endo night.
Bro, Endo's a guy, bro, you just know what I'm saying? Because he unleashes McAllister, you can't knock him, bro. Like, he's been a star signing.
See, Gomez was playing DM.
He's been a star signing, bro.
Endo,
star. He has.
Wait, let's unpack this.
There's been multiple star signings. So, he's been one of them.
Are you talking about in the Premier League, or are you talking about Liverpool star signing was Endo?
I would say he's the most underrated. He's the most underrated signing that we've made this summer.
Okay, 100%. Unpack that.
Bro, for what we had, considering that we lost out on Caicedo, Lavia, to bring in a 30-year-old who no one knew of, it was under Klopp's recommendation. And obviously, he started slow, but for him to come in and do what he's doing...
What is he doing?
Bro, he's basically shielded the whole thing. What do you mean, what is he doing?
What is he doing? No,
what do you mean, what is he doing?
Yeah, what is he doing?
You man are acting like you ain't seen the games, bro. Yeah, this guy is providing protection for the back four. At the end of the day, he's winning duels. Bro, he's cleaning up all sorts of mess in the midfield. Oh, but it's part of the game, bro. You always concede goals. That man conceded goals to Newcastle, but they dominated. What happened? Okay. There you go. You're quiet. That's what I thought. But at the end of the day, what you got to say about Endo is, bro, he's done a fantastic job. There's not much. And when he's gone, he's a miss. Like, even when McAllister was kind of doing that role, he was kind of struggling.
Next season, is he your starter next season? You wouldn't upgrade that position?
With the age profile, I think we should look to upgrade that. He's 30.
I think he's a good backup.
He's a good backup, but at the same time, he gets the job done. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
I feel like, proper. Yeah, I'm not trying to be disrespectful to like sixes, yeah, but we had it with Coquelin for like a year in the middle of the last decade, yeah, where if you're on it for like all 90 minutes of a match, you just lock down your target. You can have a good career as a six in the Prem, even at the top level. So I feel like, I'm not saying he's as bad as Coquelin, but like, you can kind of get away with it for a bit before you start to get exposed, especially if you're in a good system like Liverpool. You've got two good centre-backs behind him. You've got midfielder, but Callis is not completely offensive. He has some defensive traits as well. So I feel like Endo's deficiencies are not as blaringly obvious in Liverpool's system.
I would say that.
If he played for like a weaker team.
I would say that. And also, I don't think he has the same effect on you guys defensively as you actually think, considering that Liverpool still concede a high amount of shots per game. I think Alisson's obviously a big reason as to why we haven't really been looking at Endo and saying he's been a problem.
Because you got to look, even Alisson's been gone. Alisson's been gone for how long?
Even if
a certain man has stepped up now.
Haven't stopped.
Yeah, it hasn't stopped, bro, because we have the quality. At the end of the day, we have the centre-backs to deal with it. And we have the goalkeeper, even a backup goalkeeper to deal with it.
If we're talking about the actual impact he's having on your defence, you're talking about protection, I'm not so sure that he's giving you the protection that you think.
I would say he mops up quite nicely in terms of the midfield mess that he does.
I personally think it's just a case of he's just better than having like McAllister there, which isn't really a high bar, innit? And that's fine. Because as I said, when we first got Coquelin, we hadn't had a DM. We were playing Ramsey and Wilshere in pivots. So
last season you've got to remember who we're dealing with. We were dealing with an old man Fabinho who was basically done.
Do you think Endo this season has been better than how Fabinho ended last season?
Yeah, he's been way more consistent. 100%.
The end of last season, Liverpool went on a
No. You need to understand how inconsistent. No. You guys need to understand how inconsistent Fabinho was. Like Fabinho was even bad at the end of the season before.
Fabinho's coming out now, isn't it? Now that he's gone.
Wait.
We start telling the truth about our players, isn't it?
No. It's not even that. Like, Fabinho will be a legend, but I can't lie. Fabinho was dusted for a while.
The amount
of times that people just running through, it was a donut midfield, like Man United, essentially.
He's completely dedicated to just mopping up. So he doesn't do anything else. So you're going to look good.
That's what we need at the moment. That's all we need to be top of the league.
Obviously, I don't want to spend too long on Endo. We're going to get onto another point that I feel like might cause you a couple issues with that. But Darwizzy, quote unquote, that you brought up.
Listen, I'm not going to lie. I haven't been this guy's biggest fan, man. I thought he was a super sub. It's well documented in the group chat. I said super sub at best. He did do a super sub thing. Let's not lie.
I don't think he's a super sub.
No. That's what I said in the beginning of the season. That's what I said. I'm not going to go back on my word. Mm. I did say super sub. But what this guy is doing at the moment, he's becoming such a reliant force that we need, especially when we have some of our other striking options. Obviously, I know Raf wants to get into one particular that isn't firing. You know, Gakpo, when called upon, you know, you got a man like Dans that are looking better than Gakpo in certain situations. Mm-hmm. And to have somebody who brings what Darwin brings, whereas Gakpo is a bit more, I feel like he's just not, he doesn't make the movements, he doesn't make the runs, his IQ for being a nine or just a striker just isn't really there. Yeah. And fair play to him, he doesn't get the run, but now he's gotten the run of games, you'd expect to see a bit more from him.
Had this argument at the start of the season, actually. I did say to him, in my opinion, I felt like the system and the way that Liverpool play is more geared towards Nunes being their number nine.
Yeah.
And the main reason for that is because the way you man play so direct is very like from, you know, back to front very quickly. You need that running behind. You need the outlets. And I think especially when Trent plays, especially when the likes of Salah are trying to create, I think Nunes' movement and his just overall, you know, his all-round game, I think causes more problems for defences. You can never rest. Even if he's going to miss the chances, he's always there and he's always a problem. And I think that is a very valuable thing to have. It's almost something that, as an Arsenal fan, I don't think we've really seen our strikers really do something like that. So I think that's one thing that going forward, if I wanted a strike for my club, that's 100% something that I'm looking for now. And I'm saying, you know,
I don't think you guys would need a Nunes though.
Not like a Nunes, but I'd like to have a strike. You see the games where we get locked up. Like I'm thinking like Newcastle away, for example, like we dominated the ball, but they were very comfortable defending their box because our strikers, the movement was poor. There's no one asking questions. That's all I want someone to do. I want someone to keep a centre back on their toes. Jamal Lascelles, what's his name? Whoever he is, he was having a great game.
Do you know, it's always funny when they say this, yeah, because before Christmas, them man was saying, "Oh, we need a striker, number nine, da da da." Now we're talking about Havertz and Trossard rotation.
Yeah, but the thing
people
is,
aren't talking about the nine problem.
But hold on.
Even though it is there, people aren't talking about the nine problem.
I don't want to get too sidetracked, but I did say when I saw Havertz play against Liverpool in the FA Cup and we saw him play up front, I did say he was asking them questions because physically he could challenge them and he was also making the runs. It's just when he gets on the ball, that's the problem, isn't it? So I think Nunes, the problem is when he first came, he came at the same time as Haaland. Obviously, certain fans were getting excited, saying, you know, it's going to be Nunes versus Haaland this season.
Yeah, but you remember Community Shield.
Unfortunately, whereas he might have needed a bit of time to develop into what he was going to be, the standard was always going to be Haaland. And Nunes isn't there yet. Let's put that there.
He's making good headway, though.
Both of them, if you saw Haaland.
He's not getting there.
You think Nunes is going to get to Haaland level?
Listen, you guys need to understand, Haaland is a, what do you man call it, a BCM. Look what happened today. Big chance means like how many BCMs do you have?
Wait.
Let me say something now. I feel like because Nunes started off slower and he came from whatever the league that he came from, and there was more spotlight on Haaland and Haaland was actually producing, it was like, okay, this is a rivalry. The amount of money we spent on Nunes, the amount of money they spent on Haaland, it's like, okay, direct. They came in the same time. Mm. Obviously, Haaland went off because at the end of the day, I feel like the system that he played in, it was easier for him to kind of just benefit from that. Whereas Nunes, No, it's not just that. But I'm saying it was easier for him. Hold on. I don't think Nunes and Haaland, I'm being real, I don't think Nunes Haaland will be the same. But I think Nunes will be a very, very top striker, like top striker. Haaland, no.
Define very, very top.
What is that like?
How many on the
level is that?
Yeah.
I'm going to go, I think he can consistently get like 20 goals.
No, but if you were going to compare him to like a striker from previous Premier League eras, what level is he going to touch?
See, the thing is, this is one of my favourite ones, but I don't want to say it yet.
So let me hear
it. Think at his best, without any nonsense going on, I think he can be like a Suarez.
Oh my,
ring the bell. He said Nunes is going to be Suarez. Louder. I said,
Where's the light? Hold on.
Explain this.
Let me talk. Before you start.
I said, wait. No, let me talk.
We need to reiterate what you just said.
Let me reiterate. What I'm saying. Wait. Let me say, at his absolute best.
Say the name of
at Darwin Nunes' best, without any nonsense going up top there. If he fixes everything that's going on, I think he can reach that level.
What level? Which level?
Of a Suarez.
Which Suarez?
Dennis Suarez.
Listen, Mandem, I'm showing you. At his best. I'm saying at his best. However, realistically.
Why?
Bro, the things that this guy is doing is ridiculous. Like, the magic he has and the never say die sort of thing. Bro, come on, man. Anyway, wait. Hold on. Because right now.
It's my first day.
It's a big one.
Let me ask you this. Because you just said, you don't think he's ever going to get above Haaland level.
No. I'm qualifying.
I'm asking you now. Is Suarez a better striker than Haaland?
Yeah, of course.
So,
but wait. But so let me get there.
At his best, he can be Suarez level.
I'm saying, bro, the talent is there. Everything's there.
But he'll never get to Haaland's level.
Yeah, but I said realistically, he won't. But it's like at the best. No, but I'm saying at his best. Do you get what I'm saying?
I don't like that qualifier.
It's a qualifier. At a qualifier.
So, realistically, then, what's the level he'll end up at? Just give me names.
I'm trying to think.
Because I'm thinking like Roque Santa Cruz.
Oh, you're Santa Cruz.
I think Cavani is the most obvious.
It's only because of the Euro grind and everything.
But they play similar.
They play similar. But I feel like Cavani has way better IQ.
Not early on.
It became that
because I'm only judging him off what I last saw when he was at Man United. That's what I was last doing. That guy was elite for United, even doing the dog work. But I think because United, the way United system is, I feel like he would have got more if he was at a better system like in Liverpool. 100%. I feel like he could be a Cavani and you could probably do better than Cavani in this league with Liverpool system, bro. If he came to a previous United system under Fergie or something, he'll be good.
But no, because
I'm talking about Cavani.
He would be that third striker that gets rotated in.
To be fair, United, but I think obviously I don't want to get too sidetracked on Nunes, isn't it? I think the last point I just wanted to say on him is, I think one thing that Nunes does have outside of his ability, I think you can see the dog in him when he comes on the pitch. I think his mentality is top. You can see when I think they showed a picture of him when he was on the bench and it was 0-0. And you could see he was raring to get on the pitch. You could see when he came on, he's a rabid dog. He wanted to make something happen.
Did you see against Chelsea? This guy was jumping off, he was supposed to be injured. One thing about Nunes,
and I think this is why Liverpool fans have stayed patient with him, is you're always going to get 100% effort with him. And he has a desire to get to that level that he wants to be at. And you can never complain about that as a fan, in my opinion. So I think, the other thing I wanted to, obviously, we'll touch on the refereeing situation in a second, but I think Jurgen Klopp, someone that I've criticised a lot over the last like 12 months, I think one thing that I do actually want to say, which might sound controversial, is that I think since Sir Alex, he's probably showing signs of that this season, in all honesty, just in terms in terms of the way that he's able to get the most out of like week 11s. We saw the 11 that he put out yesterday. I mean, we had an academy player playing in midfield. You had Joe Gomez was playing DM. Do you get what I'm trying to say? Gakpo up top. Like, there's so many gaps in that side, and he's able to just give them a secure environment for them to perform. And I think if you look at it, hold on, I don't think it's controversial, I just like the apology because this guy was messing with me. I want you to say about Klopp, this guy was messing with me. Let me land, bro, this is your first episode of the pod, please. No, bro, because I've had to hear it from the GC, but go ahead, go ahead, go ahead. I just want to say, obviously I'm an honest fan, bro, if I see something I'm gonna say fair enough. Do you get? And I think with Klopp this season, I've criticised him for things such as like his in-game subs, his game subs, his game management. I think Ayo's done that as well. But this season, he's shown a lot of times that he's been able to bring on subs that make sense for the game. That's one thing that he has done. But one thing is, he's always been able to get a certain amount of effort out of his team that I don't think other managers could do. For example, if you put Klopp at Chelsea right now, I think he would take them to a top four easily. I think so. Because the you got to think, the players he's bringing into this team, I mean, Connor Bradley has come out of nowhere and has suddenly just come in and seamlessly made it, you know, look like Trent is not even missing. Do you know what I'm trying to say? I don't know who, as we just mentioned that Clark guy in midfield, I don't even know who he is, but it just looked like him, Gomez and McAllister. How is that midfield going to Nottingham Forest and controlling the ball, bro? That doesn't make sense. So I think when I look at it from that point of view, I mean, yeah, like Sir Alex was the last person I can think of that done that, because if I'm looking at players like Cleverley and the Welbecks, and he's provided them an environment where, you know, the likes of Makeda and that can come into a team and straight away they're just, they hit the ground running. Innit? And I think it's a lesson to maybe the likes of Chelsea and other clubs that are trying to rebuild. Maybe you just need an environment where it's just stable, fam. Have like a, have a group of players or core group of players that are experienced and good, and the younger players thrive off confidence. Every player needs confidence in it. And I think Klopp, definitely the best in the league at doing that right now and deserves his praise still. I'm not going to sit here and hate on that, so.
Well done, we got there in the
end. Yeah, we got there in the end. But on to the major point, the refereeing controversy. I think a lot of people have touched on it so far. I don't know how we got it wrong, but I think in a title race that is now three teams going for a title and we're going into the last 10 games, these decisions are big.
Mm-hmm.
They are.
The effects of what they have on the league now, I mean, that's a game that Liverpool probably would have drawn. They've now gained 2 points. And losing, dropping 2 points and gaining 2 points at this time of the season is big still. It's big because I'm even thinking from like Arsenal's point of view, we're 5 points behind you now. I mean, if we go lose tomorrow, I'm not saying that we will, but if we do, that's a big gap at this time of the season.
Are you talking about the drop ball?
Yeah. Now, looking back here, I know a lot of Liverpool fans have said that, you know, the Konate got taken out by a Nottingham Forest player and whatever. But
I think that was a bit of a drag. It was just a head injury. And it looked like...
From replays, it looks like your keeper has taken him out. Obviously, there's been a head injury. Hudson-Odoi had the ball. The referee's blown the whistle. And he's given the ball back to you guys. I don't think the issue is him dropping it with your keeper. I think it's more... He should have instructed you guys to kick the ball back. Because I think that's how it's actually supposed to go. I mean, if Notts have the ball, we're supposed to end up with the other team. They kick it back to you. Game starts again, and you can imagine if Kelleher did kick the ball to the other end and the Nottingham Forest keeper did pick it up, I don't think Liverpool get another opportunity to score.
I feel like it's a bit of a drag because there was a whole 3 minutes in between and the ball went out twice. They were acting like it went out twice.
It was 1:40 actually.
Okay, whatever, man. Whatever, man.
It was one minute forty to the goal.
You managed.
So that means it was like a minute to the corner.
You dragging it. Do you know what I'm saying? So all these technicalities, all these things. But it matters, and I can't lie. Forrest did get screwed over, but at that time, like. Even me, I was thinking, damn, we may have to just settle for this draw.
For sure.
It went out twice. We got a corner and magic happened. And you know what? Yeah, people get screwed all over the gaff in this Premier League. It happens. It's not acceptable. But what I'm saying is it's a situation of we got screwed one time. You guys got screwed one time. It's something that it comes and goes, isn't it?
It happens.
And it comes from these referees messing up. I admit it happened because it should have been done. That's it. But I'm saying people need to stop crying.
So, you know what I'm saying? Obviously, well, actually, you know what? Let's move on to the Manchester derby and then we'll come on to, you know, title race predictions or whatever. But City ended up getting a win today. You know, we'll come to United after the title race talk. So don't worry, Raf, you'll get your time. I think Man City today, I think, kind of confirmed what I was thinking more early in the season, to be honest. I don't think City are as good as they were, personally. I think I can see weaknesses there that I didn't necessarily see last season. But they're still at a level, like even if Man City go down like 5%, that difference is there's still a level that is extremely high. So I think we have to take that into account. But this season, I just don't think they've got, you know, last season, I'm thinking when like Mahrez could take over a game or like a Gundogan, when De Bruyne and Haaland aren't performing, those are two players now that I think are really experienced, are really reliable, that are now gone, that City don't have. And you're looking at, like, when Doku's playing today and he's struggling, who is the alternative to someone like that? Because Alvarez came on and wasn't really involved.
Yeah.
You look at someone like, obviously Foden came in and done his thing today, but there's not really like other options there. And you look at someone like Nunes as well on the bench that they have, the guy from Wolves, just not the same level. So I do think there are weaknesses there, but City are City. So Foden, obviously today, he was the one that took over the game, won it for them. I think he's been a revelation this season, but even him, he's been pushed out to the right-hand side now. So like, how do you guys see City after that win today?
I still think they were by far the better team. So I still think they definitely deserve to win.
Yep.
For like, I think United had their chances, but in these derby games, that can happen, especially like transitional play. You had like a couple chances in the first
United
half.
Had no shots after the 23rd minute.
So first, they started well. They had the first 15 minutes, they had a couple shots. And there was a chance when Rashford was through on goal and he did a poor dribble. And that could have been 2-0. That could have been a different story.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I agree with what you're saying. Something's not completely right with City. I feel like that performance and a few performances recently that I'd won against Chelsea a few weeks ago, that will give Liverpool, who are playing them at Anfield, and Arsenal, who are playing them at the Etihad at the end of the month, a lot of confidence that we can go there and beat them, or Liverpool can beat them at Anfield, because they don't look as invincible as they did last season. Last season, they were on their 10, 12 max running run.
Yeah.
I don't think they're going to do that this year. And I know a lot of people say they will. I don't think they are. If in actuality, if Arsenal win tomorrow, we have the longest winning run of the season out of any team in the league.
Yeah.
So I feel like City, there are a few draws in there, and they've got a couple tricky games coming up. And the interesting thing for me would be like, what's their best 11, number one? Does Pep know it? Because I've seen De Bruyne is out of the team sometimes. You've seen Doku start sometimes. Mm. Foden's out there. Alvarez didn't start today, but sometimes he starts. So I don't know if he knows. And the defender situation as well. Akanji sometimes plays.
I think
so we don't know his best team.
I personally think his best 11 is the team that played today, but Grealish in for Doku. Yeah. I think is his most.
You don't think Alvarez starts in his best team?
I think, no. I don't, honestly.
And
I think
Kvardio,
because I personally don't think you can play De Bruyne, Foden and Alvarez all in one side. It just doesn't really work. I don't know if you have
it.
I don't think it really makes sense. And I think, if I look at Grealish and Doku, I don't necessarily think Grealish is as effective. I just think if you're going into, the business end of the season, the clutch time, he's proven that he's played in a treble winning team, bro. Like he's reliable, exactly. And even defensively, he's probably better than Doku. So,
100%.
I think one thing that's underrated as well is actually Grealish's relationship with Haaland as well. I actually think that they have a really good relationship on the pitch.
Doku. I don't care, man.
Yeah,
I don't think they clicked yet.
And I think Grealish gets a good amount out of Haaland, which is a weird thing to say, but I just think that's what I've seen over the last like season or so. But I think, yeah, defensively, I just think City, man, on the counter, like they're just not stopping transitions the way they used to. They're not really smothering teams. They're not locking them in. I think they're giving people opportunities. And I think if you are clinical on the counter, you can score goals against them. It's just, can you keep them out the other side, which is obviously very difficult.
You
so,
made a point about the their centre-backs not being as great as Arsenal and Liverpool.
Yeah, I don't think
so. Sidetrack, but you can see it. They were playing three in the back today, were they?
Essentially.
Yeah, basically. I just feel like they play that three in the back to, for that cover, for that extra cover. You know how, like, for example, we, Van Dijk, Konate, we have more, they have a lot of responsibility.
Yeah.
You see in transitions, like, it's hard. Like, you'll get your chance against us, but Konate and Van Dijk will deal with you. They will deal with you. I feel like City's centre-backs don't have that trust. Mm-hmm. They can't do that. And it's easier for... That's why, like, when Rashford came through, I was thinking... Who was it that Bruno shrugged off? Who was it? Was it Diaz?
Yeah, I think
he just shrugged him off. I was thinking, bro, why was Diaz doing that?
With Diaz and Stones, I think Stones, you can kind of see past it a little bit because what he brings on the ball is obviously so clear of what anyone else is really doing. The guy's playing number 8 as a centre-back, bro. I think with Diaz, he's just not at the level of like the Arsenal and Liverpool centre-backs right now. I know he's kind of been the one that's gone against Van Dijk over the last like couple seasons, but this season especially, I think if you put like a presence or the number 9s that are going to, bully them a bit more or just be a bit physically more imposing, he gets found out a little bit. And even if there's space in behind and City are pressing high, I don't think he's really the guy to rely upon in those situations. I think that's a big reason as to why they haven't been as strong this season.
Nunes will give him a long day still.
Yeah, no, 100% he will. And I think the best thing about today as an Arsenal fan and Liverpool fans, I think, should take positives from this as well, is the fact that Stones actually did play today. I mean, a lot throughout the majority of the season, Stones hasn't really been playing next to Rodri in there. So you can use that as an excuse as to why they've been, getting run through in midfield and whatever it is. But today he played and United still got opportunities. So I think that's definitely a positive for teams going forward. What I will say is that I think Walker did a really good job on Rashford, though. I'm looking at it and I'm thinking, right, Rashford's one of like the best counter-attacking players in the world, really, when he's on it. And Walker just looked like he just, there was no way for him to get through. Do you know what I mean? So,
dealt with pretty much everybody this
year. When it comes to pace, he's just locking it off, innit? But we know what City's strengths are. We know what their weaknesses are. Now, I think if we look at the title race and what this weekend means, ultimately, I think Liverpool probably come out of it with, you know, the most positives. At the end of the day, a 99th minute winner is always going to be a psychological blow to anyone that they're going against. And in this race, I actually think now, if we look at this title race going forward, as an Arsenal fan, I need Liverpool's momentum to just get locked off, because the reality is City are a very good footballing side, and I don't think they respond to confidence as much as you, man, do. And I think Liverpool right now, not that they're relying on confidence, but with the players that are out, I think having that momentum, having that belief, and obviously the storyline of Klopp, you know, obviously leaving at the end of the season. Yeah, that's what's propelling you, man, to these
Wait,
crazy
Wait, do you have this conversation now, or is Raf going to talk about United?
No, we're going to get onto that after the title race.
Oh, you might want to do title talk now.
Yeah, we'll get onto the rest. I'm sorry, bro. But yeah, I think I want City to win next week. Still, I'll be real. And the reason
I think
because as I just said, I think if City beat Liverpool at Anfield, which is a ground that they don't really win at, Liverpool usually win that game. Yeah, so I think that is really like a dent on the belief. Right now, it seems like everything's falling into play for Liverpool. It's falling into place for them, sorry, should I say. They're winning games in the last minute. You know, they're doing things that shouldn't really be happening with the 11s that they have. Everything that's going against them, nothing matters. The injuries is not having an effect. So at what other point, really, are they going to get dented? Or if they don't drop points next week, bro, they're going to be here till the end of the season, isn't it? And I think right now,
they are going
to
be here.
City have to stop them. Yeah, and I think, I look at it from our point of view. I know Arsenal fans might be thinking, oh, but, you know, you don't want City to get 3 points as well. Personally, I don't think if City draw next week or City win or City lose, I don't think it makes a big difference how they're going to finish the season, in all honesty. From a confidence point of view, I don't think it changes much.
But it sounds like, I'm inferring from that, you're saying Liverpool are currently a bigger threat to the title than City.
I think, no. That's not what I'm saying. The reason I'm saying that I want City to win is because we still have to play them, innit? It's in our hands. So thing is, like, even if City were to win next week, and they do get that confidence, we still have the opportunity to stop them. We don't have the opportunity to play Liverpool again. We've already given them our dagger, and it didn't really do anything. You get what I'm trying to say?
It didn't do much, innit?
Yeah, someone has to stop this momentum that Liverpool have right now, and I think City need to do that. So I personally would prefer a City win next week, and, you know, if Arsenal really are about it, we have to go to the Etihad and win anyway.
Bro,
so
you man have some tough games as well, bro. You man have to go to Spurs. Course, you man have to go
Everyone
to
has tough games, bro.
Every game is tough at this stage.
No, that's what I'm saying. So, like, you man are, like, at the end of the day, if you guys go 9-9 with Spurs, United and City, boy.
Well done.
I'm not, like, listen, you
so
man
what's
will
your
see me leave
for the actual game, though? Liverpool City next week. What's your prediction?
Well, it depends if Salah's back, because at the moment, I think it's looking 50-50. I doubt he goes to the trip to Prague. And if so, if he does, he'll probably just get like some here you go minutes, you know what I'm saying? Just to get him ready. If Salah's there, Szoboszlai's there, Endo's there. I'm going with Nunez is there. Nunez starts. Gakpo, I don't want to see him. I want to go for a 2-1. 2-1 win. 2-1 win at Anfield.
Guys,
I feel like it's just written, man. It has to be 2-1.
You see what I'm trying to say, though. You see how they're saying it's written.
It has to be. But you man need to realize what has happened in the last seven days.
The belief for Liverpool.
You man need to realize what's happened. I know, Raf, this must be horrible for you, bro. Like,
but you got
like,
bro. Liverpool's whole like.
We're aura. We're there. We're mentality monsters. We're there. See, look, these men are scared. Listen, these men were like, oh, it's unsustainable. It can't be done. No. I'm not saying you. But I was saying all over TL, it's unsustainable.
Like
They've been saying that. But bro, the league reflects how you've been doing.
The reason you can't say unsustainable at Liverpool.
Bro,
Liverpool.
I'm agreeing with you,
but
go ahead.
Yeah, but I'm saying the reason you can't say that, and I don't like when other fans say it, is because Liverpool have probably the most injuries out of Arsenal City right now. We've had injuries before, but
this is
the time where you would have expected Liverpool to fall off. They've not dropped points. So I don't think you can say that. And I think it shows again, like, the style of play that Liverpool have, I think you guys are probably in the best position to deal with injuries,
100%.
Because of the way that you play. I think you're going to concede chances regardless anyway. Yeah, so I think you're in the best position. If us or City lose players,
you're done.
Yeah, it's key to our system. Like, I think it breaks down.
If they come with the same team they've been playing them, City's going to cook them. Like,
let's see, innit, bro. Do you know what? You can say that, but
yeah, but I don't
honestly
think they'll play. But you guys got to remember who we started yesterday's game. We didn't start with Endo. We didn't start with Szoboszlai. We didn't start with Nunez.
If some of them boys come back, I think it's going to be a draw. 1-1
draw.
1-1 draw. I don't think it'll be an attritional game. I feel like City won't come out too much because they are wary of that.
The transitional threat.
So I feel like it'll be a 1-1. But if Liverpool play them children that Pochettino couldn't deal with, bro, they're going
to
get killed.
We'll see, innit? We'll see. But let's move on from title talk and go back to United now. How do you guys feel? Obviously, you went 1-0 up. I don't know. I didn't watch the first 10 minutes, but I heard that you started well. I saw, obviously, the Rashford goal.
We didn't start well.
You went 1-0
up. The first 2 minutes, they were...
they were cooking you, man.
I don't really know what you guys were expecting today, though. So it's like, it doesn't seem like you're sitting here and you're really annoyed or whatever. It seems like you're kind of just calm. Because last year, you lost 6-3.
I've had zero expectations since about December. Damn.
Going into derbies and not having any expectation is crazy, though. That's a bit mad. Because even when you guys have been bad, you still managed to beat City.
Yeah, agreed. But I think
if Hojlund had played today, I think it would have been a completely different game.
No,
personally,
not really. I think it's the same story. You think? Maybe we get a couple more chances here.
Yeah, I think you guys would have had an opportunity.
Maybe we score two. They still score three or four. But it doesn't really.
Obviously, the main man for yourself, Marcus Rashford. Obviously, you were singing his praises when you were 1-0 up. Great goal.
Thunderbolt.
But he was
kind of, yeah. We just went off. It was a typical Rashford game. Great honestly, goal. Like, we saw the best and worst of him today. Again, you've seen a great moment from him that he's capable of producing, and then we've seen the worst. We've seen it completely fall off. We've seen it get hooked.
Like, let me talk.
So what's next?
Let me finish.
It's because it's Rashford, bro. He's upset.
What kind of setup to the topic is this? I haven't even
answered the question.
I haven't even touched the scoreline, where the match was.
We're going straight to Rashford.
All right, fair enough. Yeah, man. Listen, wasn't the best performance. The whole team was shambolic. But you can't really blame him. The guy, bro. We literally had two shots. What can you expect for a left winger?
Yeah, well, this is the thing. So if you lot are going to put him on at the level that he is and, you know, that he's the best in the big games and he's this and that, maybe he should be creating more, bro.
But, bro, he scored a goal out of nothing.
He scored a goal out of nothing and then done what, though? What did he do?
But what did the team do?
I fully hear that. There were times where Rashford touched the ball about five, ten times.
That's not true.
Especially the second half. The first 20 minutes of the second half, he was really poor.
Bro, be serious, man.
Yeah, and that's fine. What can you expect? But I'd say, again, like, as someone who... Bro, I want more from Rashford. You get it? Like, I actually do think he has the qualities to be a top player. We've said it many times. I think
I don't get how you can watch a match like this. Yeah,
what, I do, bro. What, I do.
You don't even know what I'm gonna say.
I don't even.
Don't even.
Finish off.
I don't understand how you can watch a match like this where we've been utterly dominated from start to finish. Yeah. There's fundamental problems in how the team is built up. Our pressing structure is just wrong and makes no sense. The way we defend in a high press with a low block makes no sense. I don't know what the build up like.
I don't know your press trigger. I don't know what's going on.
Do you know what I mean? It's like we build short all the way. Then just to go back to Onana and long it to Rashford. I don't know how you can watch that match. And watch that same match occurred for the past 12 games with United. I don't understand how you can watch that. See Rashford create a goal like that out of nothing and go, do you know what? Marcus Rashford is the problem here. Marcus Rashford is the number one talking player. Marcus Rashford is what we need to sit down and analyze.
I didn't say he's the problem.
Like, bro, what?
Do you know why I'm doing that? 20 minutes into the game, did you at me yes or no? All right, then. So you know why we're here.
Let's fundable.
He said, bro, this guy added me on. Jalen, say something. Say something. I'm saying something, bro. I'm here. I'm saying something. Then you're getting upset,
bro. I can't lie.
I'm here. I'm saying something.
I'm pretty sure. No.
I'm saying something. You can't tell me to say something.
One thing I'm going to say about Rashford, yeah, he literally made even when you man played them, yeah. When you man played them back,
yeah,
in
same
game,
thing. He scored an end.
He scored out of nothing.
Can you not see the plan? Hold on.
Do you know why I have an issue with what you're saying though? Yeah, it's because honestly, if he was playing in a team that dominated the ball, I don't think he gets better. I think this is actually a style of play that he would prefer.
The counter attack.
But this is not just playing on the counter attack, bro.
So what is it?
Bro, this is just being choked out, dominated. There's no choice in the fact.
Okay,
that
okay, but let me ask you this. So you don't think
we had 22% possession, bro.
Yeah, but if
what
he,
can you do with
again,
that as an attacker?
Hold on. So again, though, my question to you is because you've said that he is the type of attacker that you can build your attack around. Yes or no? He's that level of player. Don't say up there. If he's that level of player,
I don't believe you're relying.
No, I don't think build around that player.
I think
but
you accommodate, you try your best. If the ball comes to
Rashford on the break, you are basically looking at him, or you're looking at, you said Bruno Fernandes, you're looking at both of them to create something, bro, or to at least bring you up the pitch or do something else. I don't think he did that second half. I don't think he done it towards the second half for the first half.
But what did the whole team do in the second half? Look, the team is
we
set
can
up
get
to
on
fail.
But we're talking about your best player, bro.
Bigger problem.
We're talking about your best player.
Bigger problem.
I can't lie.
You know what I mean?
You're focusing on people.
Okay, How can you go into a derby and set up, be so pragmatic? And after the second goal going, I understand. But bro, after the second goal went in, he took off Mainu. He took off Rashford.
How was he supposed to stay on the pitch?
Bro, and he put on Antony. Like, Antony's even had a run of doing anything.
Rashford's legs are gone.
It doesn't matter. It's a derby game. Rashford wants to play. You don't take off your players for a derby. Don't.
I'm not going to sit here and say that Rashford got hooked because he played badly. Because really, the reality is that he was probably your only outlet.
He's your only
outlet. But the reason he came off is because he was tired. And that's probably the same with the other players.
Bro,
obviously the style of play that you man played.
Whose fault is it?
That is because of your manager, 100%. Okay. But again, if you're asking me the reason why I'm focusing on Rashford, it's because you said to me 20 minutes into the game, something. So we've discussed it now. So now we can move on.
This is a gender.
So we can move on now. So I'm asking you now. So what do you feel like? So what do you think?
There's something deeper behind
this. No. If someone is saying, say something to me, I'm going to respond to it. Yeah, we're here on the pod. I don't just say things in the GC. I come here and I discuss it. Yeah, so don't get upset about it. We'll move on now. So what other problems did you have today?
Bro, everything. Just, bro, the setup is shambolic. The players are clearly, from an athletic point of view, we're already two goals down against most teams. Like, we're not as strong. We're not as fit. We're not as fast. We're not as well conditioned. They can't jump as high.
Pre-season issues, like.
Bro, do you know what I mean? We still have pre-season issues. Like, muscle injuries are piling up. It's not contact injuries. It's muscle injuries in training every week. The guy is doing something fundamentally wrong.
Talk about Amrabat.
That wasn't his fault, though.
I don't blame Amrabat.
I don't blame Amrabat for that. Jalen, whose fault was that?
For what? What? You're blaming Casemiro?
100% I am.
100%. I can't lie to you. I honestly don't care. I feel sorry for Amrabat.
Yeah, because no. Do you know why?
He doesn't deserve this.
He doesn't deserve that.
He waited the whole summer for this dream move. He parked everything on the side. I know he was probably sitting there every day when he went to bed and said, "You know what?
It's not like he had.
I'm waiting for this United move. This is my dream move." Yeah, he said, bro, he waited.
Klopp was on the phone to him.
Every time I see him hop on the pitch, I just think to myself, this guy goes home every day and he knows he's not going to be here next season.
But this is what I don't get.
It's like Wake Horse last season.
But this is what I don't get. Yo, Ten Hag, you pushed for this guy all summer long. Yeah, this was his signing. The board, the scouts were like, I'm not so sure about this guy here, you know. Ten Hag pushed for him. Ten Hag finally gets him. And he doesn't play him once.
He starts him in left back. In that first game in left back, and he does the inversion, he's all right. And you're thinking, okay, there could be something. But after that, it's just downhill from there. Ten Hag does that with you, man.
Your midfield, any midfielder that goes in that system.
No,
even Mainu looks suspect at times. But his there's no midfield.
Ten Hag's squad management, I don't understand. I don't understand where he stands. I can only imagine as a player, it must be so infuriating because you never know where you stand. If you come in and you're Amrabat, you're thinking, "Raw, I was this guy's, you know, the manager really wanted me. I'm gonna be shown some love," and nothing.
Even someone like Antony,
how can this guy be your go-to? You've never dropped him. Now all of a sudden, the guy can't even get a minute.
Peak. The management there is.
Bro, how do you know as a player where you stand in that squad?
I think obviously if we were to go back to the two facts that I'm gonna give you, 140 shots conceded in the last seven games.
What?
That's what an average of 20 a game.
But that's Rashford's fault.
Is that actually a fact?
140 shots conceded in the last seven games, which is an average of 20 shots a game.
Shooting for this. Yeah, that's the first one. Like, yo, listen,
and the second one
has been very good
today. But go ahead.
The second one is that I think you guys haven't won an away game against a top six side now under Ten Hag. Now that is something surely that has to change going forward. I don't know it. from what Neville is saying, Neville said earlier, I think a few weeks ago, he said that Ratcliffe and the guys coming in now, they would have made a decision on whether they're going to keep him or not. And he wants them to make a decision now rather than later. Because
I agree.
Certain people, you know, like the Liverpools know that Klopp is leaving. They can start having talks with other managers. The United need to be in that same situation.
Yeah, 100%. I can't imagine they wouldn't be having those conversations with the agents and the managers as is. I mean, the Glazers, from the looks of it, they're permanently in talks with managers, even when they've just signed someone to a 3-year deal. So I'm sure like the talks are happening behind the scenes.
So
do
you
want, agents.
Because you said you were going to give us a name that we didn't really like a while ago, and I don't think you've actually said
I did. I gave the name.
Who was it?
I want Diego Simeone.
That's not a bad shout, though. Yeah. I like his style right now. He's actually
suffering.
No, but it's not even suffering. He's kind of changed his style.
He's toned it down a bit. But
I think Simeone would actually fit United's identity.
Like what you were talking about, I think with Jurgen Klopp and how he gets the most out of his players. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think as a manager, that's probably one of the best. If not the best, it's one of the best qualities you can have as a manager. And you look at managers like Fergie, like Klopp, like Jose. That's kind of their number one skill, right? And I think United just haven't had that in so long. I think we had Jose, but it was the ghost of Jose.
He wants to come back, though. He wants to come back to you.
That's nice. It's not win. Stay where you are, bro. Stay where you are. The memories were.
Even Chelsea fans are asking for him back, but that's a whole
The memories
goal.
Are nice, but you can go back to Chelsea. But we only really had that under Oli for a year or so. And then we definitely haven't had that under Ten Hag. I think he was right from day one. His squad management is shambolic.
You wanted to argue with me, but let's not go.
But yeah, man, you need a manager that can get everything out of their players. And Ten Hag clearly is not that guy.
Is top four done?
100%. It was done from day one. We was never in it. We was never in the race.
So yeah, because this is what we're going to move on to next. So in terms of,
we're looking fifth at best.
Villa won 88th minute this weekend. Spurs, obviously, they turned around the game. United are kind of still there, not really there.
It's not happening.
Spurs have a game in hand as well. Who is going to take this fourth spot?
Villa are grabbing that.
You think Villa over Spurs?
And I'll be happy for Emery because I felt sorry for Emery. The experience at Arsenal wasn't great. And I felt sorry for him personally because he was kind of out of his depth. What he didn't really know the language.
How far are Spurs behind Villa?
Mid to the table.
I think it's 3 points.
Yeah, it's not too far. To be honest, Andrew's getting all these plaudits.
But they have a game in hand.
Yeah, I mean, they play each other again, don't they?
Yeah, next week.
Yeah, so I think, obviously, that's a big game. I actually think Spurs will get it done, personally. I just think Emery, when it gets to a certain stage of the season.
He's looking at Europe.
I just don't know what it is. I think he's very, stubborn. And he doesn't really want to change tactically. And I think I'm looking at a game like Liverpool.
That will cost him.
Yeah, a Liverpool game at home. Realistically, he should just sit. But he's gonna go play the high line. He's gonna attack, and they're gonna get done.
They're better than most teams this league. Oh, 100%.
I think. How big of an impact do you think that Watkins is having on their season? If you take him out of their team,
he's
dragging
some goals, and I think he's double digits.
He's having a crazy
penalties. He's been a revelation this season.
That's a Dwight York season.
Yeah.
And I think when you're going for top four, you always need a player that's gonna kind of drag you out. And I think every team is kind of
got good midfielders as well. You know, McGinn's good. Douglas
McGinn's been really good.
That's what Nunez's level will be. That's the kind of conversations he'll go down in.
What?
Watkins is miles better than Nunez.
You think? Whoa. 100% now, but I'm saying right now, I'm saying that's the peak of his career, Nunez.
That's disrespect. What's the peak of Watkins' career though?
This.
Oh, you think he doesn't get
so
that?
He doesn't get a big
move. Watkins get.
Wait. Do you think he'll get a move? And where would if he was gonna? Wait, you think he's gonna stay at Villa?
No, I want Watkins. He's my number one at Arsenal.
Yeah, I know you guys want him at Arsenal. He's 20. Is he 20?
He's at 27.
He's gonna be 29.
Move, man. Why are you not? How long has he got left on the deal?
Oh, I think he's tied into a long.
Oh, he's
out 2025. Stop.
He's there. Oh, he's out 20.
Would you take him?
Nah, he's there, man.
My thing is with Watkins. I'll be honest here.
At Arsenal.
He's not in that.
Wait, you don't think top
bracket,
six?
The amount of money Villa will want for him.
I hear that.
That's kind of my point. I think if you have to spend, 80-90 mil on Watkins right now, I just think at the age that he is, you're gonna get a couple seasons out of him. You're not gonna be able to sell him after that. And I think you have to take that into account. As much as he is ready right now, he's going to come into any side and he's going to get you the 15, 20 goals. He's going to get you the 5, 10 assists. Guaranteed. But how long does that last for? And does that translate to the Champions League? Or does it translate to, when you're going to the Bernabeu, is he going to be able to hang with them? Because when I've seen him play international football, he ain't really been there, man. I'll be real. He ain't really been at that level.
time, bro.
But what I would say is after throughout the season,
go under that, innit? That's what we.
Oh,
that's
guys
what
were saying a few years ago, we should take Tony Burnaba, bro. We got Nketiah right now. You know what I mean?
No. Nketiah is fourth choice right now, bro. We're okay, not that, taking him nowhere.
I hear it, yeah, but the thing is, yeah, any striker, first of all, any striker you buy for Arsenal is going to cost you minimum 75 million. It's going to be 70, 80, 90 million. If it's Osimhen, it's like 110.
So you'd rather spend that on Watkins and Isaac.
If you had 80 million, okay, if you had 80 million and you could buy Tony, Jokeres from Sporting or Watkins. I'm taking Watkins every day of the week.
Yeah, but what about Isaac?
Tony. If Isaac's in there, then we have a conversation. That's a good conversation.
You take Tony
for 80 mil. If it's firstly, I don't think any of those players will go for 80 mil.
I think if Brentford get relegated, and Tony goes to like a 30, 40 mil.
Every team's coming
every
in for
team should be in
based on I don't want
I don't think
want
he suits
him.
You man
I'm
now I used to think he did but the mobility
if there's a chance
thing,
to get a player like that for 40 mil every team's going in, that's the facts.
I'd pay double for Watkins.
I think even like a City, I think City could go in and they would say, you know what, let's go get Tony for 40 mil and he could be our backup.
No, I think he's about 26.
I think it's an opportunity.
He's about 26.
If I had to rank the order pound for pound, no money involved, Osimhen's not my number one, then it would be Watkins, then it would be probably Jokeres and Isak. Well, Isak would probably be second, but Tony's at the bottom.
I
feel sorry for him because again, he's been out for like 6 months, so we haven't seen the best of him. And I want to give him until next season to see, but we don't have
that long.
So I have to judge him on what I'm seeing now.
Bro, what I'm seeing right now is him performing at the awards at the Brits and that.
Yeah, man's at the Brits yesterday.
He's not even.
Yeah, let him enjoy, bro. Let him enjoy.
I don't want that.
I'm not. Whistles
outshining, man.
No, outside, bro.
But yeah, that's
gotta be outside.
Obviously, nah. Yeah. So in the top four battle, obviously, we'll come back to that situation. Yeah, I think Spurs will get done. If fifth place does open up, is that something that United can still go for? Yes or no?
No.
So you think 100% there's no?
It'll be very, very unlikely. It's still a possibility, but I just don't see
it. I think West Ham are like 2 points behind.
Yeah, our form is
West Ham are like 2 points behind.
Oh, it's very bad. I don't know how you guys are this high on the table, honestly, based on how the season has gone.
Bro, our goal difference
it doesn't make sense.
They don't draw.
Minus two.
Oh. They don't draw. I think they've had like two draws and one draw.
27
against us and someone else.
You might don't draw, man.
But even you, man, have scummed some. You, man, have scummed some.
100%, a good amount.
Them, man, have scummed Wolves twice.
Yeah.
You think if Hoyland comes back, you guys can make a push?
Oh, man, I don't know. I don't know. We'll still be like we can sniff it, but I don't feel like
let's move on to just some weekly roundup anyway. A couple of topics I want to get you guys' opinions on. So first of all, Pogba's been banned for 4 years.
He's got that.
Why are you laughing at
he's
that?
A United fan, bro.
You're a United fan. Nah man, I can't lie. After towards the end it's like getting ridiculous.
What's your man's thoughts on this situation? It's a sad end to a very, very good player's career.
I think it's 4 years.
Unserious.
I think they'll reduce it. I think they'll he's gonna
done,
appeal
bro,
it and reduce
done.
It.
Nah. I think
he should appeal it and reduce it because 4 years is ridiculous.
I mean
we haven't even seen like 2 years.
He's done a lot of roads, bro.
Bro, I need to.
The thing is, honestly, like, even
you want to act, bro, 4 years.
Bro, he was waiting on so much weight towards the end of his United.
Yeah,
career.
But it was more rehabilitation, though, wasn't it?
You got to think
about
it.
It wasn't to enhance his performance for rehabilitation.
Oh, clearly, it wasn't to enhance
like,
his performance.
Even if he wasn't banned, his career to me was
done anyway.
Do
you know what I mean?
Bro, like,
bro, he can't stay fit.
And
he hasn't played a full 90 in like 2 years.
A debate we were having a few weeks ago, I remember, was whether Pogba on his best day is better than De Bruyne.
On his day.
100%. Yeah. But his day don't come.
That guy is special.
On his day, he should go really go down as one of the best footballers of all time. But
I can't
ask that day.
The performance
is rare, man.
That's what you can do, though. Some footballers is on his day, bro.
No. Do you know the performance that stood out to me when you man were at the Etihad?
I know exactly.
And he scored two goals. Bro, that guy came out half time on.
However, but the yin and the yang, because first half shambolic. So that whole game really encapsulates what Pogba was about.
I think it's very good.
If Pogba Man United performances, you can name them. That's
you can say,
oh, remember when you did this? Even De Bruyne is doing it every week.
We're not talking about consistency.
So like on his day, you can say on his day this and that, but like you have to have a lot of those.
But I'm saying to you, all right, I hear that, but if we're talking about the prime versions of both, I still think there was a period where Pogba had like maybe one or two seasons.
There was one season.
If we're talking about like the World Cup time, for example,
that was a very good demonstration
of the level that Pogba is at. And I think if we were to take that prime version of Pogba and you put it against the prime version of De Bruyne, personally, I'm taking Pogba.
Because of the physicality of him,
not even just physicality. I just think the overall, like, if I look for everything I look for in a midfielder, De Bruyne has like a majority of those things, but Pogba just has like. the control of a game. I think he could run a midfield. I think De Bruyne is like the icing on the cake of a midfield.
On his day, I'll take the RB on his day over De Bruyne, like the physical profiles and the traits he has. Like on his day, I don't really like that phrase.
You take the RB on his day.
Prime the RB, the way he ran Anfield, I'll take it over De Bruyne because of the physicality he brings. I don't think that's controversial. I think that's mad.
I think it's a fair opinion. I wouldn't necessarily do the same, but
on his day.
But I get why you don't like that on his day, man. Anyone on their day.
Man on a match version.
Yeah.
But I do think with the Pogba, I think it's a very unserious finish to a very unserious.
Sad, man. It's actually sad.
I do think it goes to vindicate a lot of what Sooners and them man were saying.
No. Get out. I'm not doing that.
Horrible judgment on the pitch.
I think, unfortunately, I'm going to say Pogba is probably like a demonstration of that era of footballers that have unfortunately just gone outside. You look at the likes of Neymar, you look at like even the way that Gareth Bale went out.
Yeah.
All the top players of that generation, quite a few of them now have gone out the same way.
But the even like Hazard. None of them were that committed to the game.
That's the problem. Yeah. But at the same time, that's what made them great. That's the thing.
But ultimately,
that's what made them great.
That's ultimately what Sooners and them, man. That was their main point.
It's talent,
man. That he wasn't that committed to the game.
The most talented baller.
I mean, he dug the knife in every now and then.
He should never rejoin United, let's be real.
Yeah, I think that's where it went left. That's where it went left.
I was so upset when he joined you, man. I was so
happy. If Pogba had gone to Madrid. Pogba had gone to Real Madrid.
Bro, they were
talking about it differently. We're talking about it
differently. No, because it could have gone the same. They wouldn't have taken his antics.
I feel like you lot enabled his antics. Yeah, I think United enabled him being
I think you man had a really unserious environment.
Yeah, but
he's the team. Like,
come on, this whole, what do you think he would, like him and his brother and the agent would have been?
No.
Do you think they wouldn't have done the twerking thing at Madrid though?
Let's talk about that. Bellingham had a goal ruled out. La Liga. Again, very, very poor over there. Referee and is obviously getting worse and worse.
He got a red card for that, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. And it was a bit of a crazy moment where the ball was struck. Obviously, it was in the air coming into the box. Bellingham obviously scored the header. The ref had already blown the whistle. I know Real Madrid are a bit further ahead of Girona than, you know, Liverpool are ahead of City and Arsenal. But again, the way that these referee decisions are just having such an impact towards the end of the season, I just think sometimes just like common sense. But do you guys actually think, yeah, that there is corruption going on?
100%.
Because like, even when I watch certain movies, yeah, like there's a world that we don't know about. We're just normal people. I'm just a normal guy.
Listen, look at certain cases with certain moguls recently.
The way that we can censor like, things. Like, same way, for example.
There's an underbelly. There's an underbelly to the world that we don't
certain
see.
Certain goats.
Do you know what I mean?
Certain goats are with the mogul.
You see the way that we're on the pod and we can edit what goes out after? They're doing that on a much bigger scale at the top. And I just think maybe there is something going on.
100%.
Over time, no one can say to me that there's not been at least one. We've already seen Barcelona kind of being found out for paying the refs like time ago. I can't imagine that there's not anyone else doing.
He was the old Arsenal manager, but that was transfer dealings.
That was it. Bro, there's stupidness going on, man. But we'll never know. It's just gonna be conspiracies.
I'd be more inclined to believe refs are just stupid rather than corrupt. But I understand.
Nah, there's definitely something going on.
There's so many things going on in refs' mind, 100 miles an hour. I don't know why he ended the game.
But hold on. Look at Italy.
That's what I'm trying to say, bro. It's just they ain't been caught yet.
You know what I mean? You don't think Newcastle are?
They're
gonna shadow ban us on TikTok now. We're done.
I'm just saying.
Camera, tell me your views, bro.
Hey, Rip Jordan.
I'm just saying. I'm with Jefferson.
Last 5 minutes. Let's try and get a couple more topics that we ripped off, but Barcelona, I saw this week, actually terminating their contract with Nike, trying to make their own shirts now. I just feel like they really are broke. Yeah, but you know
what? They're trying to get the sales in it from the shirts.
They keep all the profit. But the problem is, yeah, it's like they want to create a whole company that's going to manufacture all of their shirts. They're probably going to offer this service to other people. My thing is like, if you can't run your own club and your finances off, how are you going to distribute the tops? How are you going to market it properly? How are you going to make sure the quality of it? Like, it's probably going to rip during the game and that. It's just, I don't know, man. Barcelona trying so many things. I saw
everything around them.
Bro, I saw people were doing weddings on the pitch.
Yeah, the thing, they were doing that. I remember, yeah.
Bro, like, I don't know what Barcelona think that they need to do, but it's not working.
No, yeah. They need Super League badge.
They need Super League, but bro, when are they just going to sell the players, though? I just don't get it. Like, how long are they going to keep trying to force these guys in there? Just
no, because the players don't want to leave.
Alright, cool. Let me ask you this.
Bro, the wages the players are on, it'll cost them more money to sell them.
But based on like how, like, the players that they're producing from Lazio right now and the players that are coming through, you look at like Yamal and a couple of the other guys that have come through. I think there's a core group there that could still have them, you know, fourth or third in the table if they were to sell more respectable figures. And I think right now they need to raise peace.
But I think the problem is they've banked everything on winning the league in terms of financially. In terms of winning,
and that's the problem. But that's what I'm trying to say. Rather than doing all of these like short-term things and they're taking crazy risks, I think it's time for them to just accept, you know what, for 3-4 years, we're going to have to take a hit and get worse. And no, try and rebuild.
The club's gone.
Would you?
They have to, bro. They have. I think, but they have to win the league.
But the problem is that if they don't win the league, like it's making them even worse than where they were before, isn't it? Like the debt is getting worse.
They've gone all in. They've committed. They're committed. They can't pull out now.
I don't know, man. I feel like
Barca are going to run out of things to sell off, and bro, they may not be a Barca in like 15 years.
You know what I mean? I think it's scary times for Barca.
I don't know, man. I feel like for trying to imagine like a football world without Barcelona being at the top of it is
that'd be fantastic.
I'm not gonna cry. I'll be honest.
I think that's bad. I'll be honest with you.
It's definitely bad. But I'm not gonna cry.
Peak for La Liga. Peak for everything.
100%.
I don't care personally.
I'm not surprised that you don't care, like that, bro. That man have ruined your.
But at the same time, you do because they've done
corruption. That Van Persie, that was corruption.
That's what I'm saying. They've done enough evil.
Before we end the week, has anyone got any rondos or anything else that they want to touch on? I don't know. When you come to the Rondo, bro, you gotta have something to say.
I know, it's my first time, bro.
You're saying debut, you ain't got anything that you think is controversial.
Bro. Maybe not controversial. Bit of a shy guy. It's more about McAllister and Thiago.
You're not supposed to do rondos on your own team, man.
You're not allowed to. Is that not allowed?
It's just like it's a bit frowned upon, man. Like,
oh really? So it could be viewed as prop, innit?
But it's all right. But I've got one thing I wanted to touch on was mid-table fans. I feel like are becoming a bit entitled right now. I've looked at the situations at Brighton. I've looked at the situation at West Ham, and I've seen fans getting onto De Zerbi. I've seen fans getting onto Moyes, and I'm just thinking, you know, if they've overachieved the season before. I mean, Moyes won a European trophy last season. They're playing in the Europa League this year. Brighton qualified for Europe, bro. They finished. I can't remember where they finished last season. They got to a cup final. Or cup semi-final, like, and now they're ninth place. They're still in the Europa League. Like, what are you guys expecting? Do you want Champions League? I don't get it. Like, you've just lost McAllister. You've lost Casado. You're selling players all the time. Why are you guys so entitled? Like, what do you want?
Bare injuries.
Do you know what I mean? And I think it's just weird to me because I think if you keep asking for more and more and more, eventually you're going to end up in a situation where you're 15th, 16th in the table. And what are you going to do? You're going to be crying for you to be back ninth and 10th again. And that's one thing I feel like you should just enjoy the ride, just enjoy the fact that you're there. You know, facts. I think the fact that West Ham even have players like Paqueta and Kudus, for example, is a testament to that the achievements that Moyes has made.
Not so long it was Mark Noble in midfield.
Bro, they sold Declan Rice last season and they're still in seventh place. Like, why do you want the guy to go? I think obviously their thing is the style of football, isn't it?
I definitely like Moyes.
But why though?
I don't understand why.
He basically said in his interview.
Man grew up on like Alan Pardew.
He said there's other managers that might have played better football than me, but at the end of the day, they didn't win. Yeah. And that quote was brazy. When he said it dropped, I said, that's cold. You know what I mean?
I remember when Graham Potter had to settle the Brighton fans one time.
Yeah.
They started booing him and he went and done an interview. I said, sorry, I can't remember the last time Brighton was in the Premier League without me. Like, how the hell?
Obviously, I'm not a mid-table fan on it. So I think my question would be to any viewers that are, like, do you guys prioritise, you know, winning, or do you just want to see good football? Do you just want to enjoy your time? Do you want to beat the big sides? Like, what is it that you guys want out of your seasons? Because
Chelsea fans included.
I mean, yeah, Chelsea fans included, because you man did lose again. What do you actually want to see? Is it players Chelsea coming through? I just want to know what they
I'll
get the most
what,
joy
I,
out of.
When Arsenal were in, like, we were coming eighth and that, we were in a lot of trouble. I'm not saying we were mid-table, but around those times when we were rubbish, I just wanted us to play nice. Like, honestly, the way the football had declined and the performance had declined, like, it's one thing to keep losing every week, but when you're not enthused to watch your team play because the style of football is so bland and so ugly. Like, there was a time we had no centre attacking midfielder before Odegaard joined, and we just had nothing. So I feel like with West Ham, when they're winning, they're content. But when they're losing, because they don't like the style, they're going to be more unhappy than usual. Yeah. And it seems when they lose big. Like they got smacked by Arsenal. Like they lose heavy in these matches. So I feel like because they don't like the style of play, when they lose, they're more angry than they would be otherwise. So I feel like teams like West Ham, they just want a manager that can play good free flowing football, and but they still come in the same.
So if you were if you were a West Ham fan, yeah, would you prefer the style of football, or would you prefer going to cup finals in European finals?
So if I was a West Ham fan, I'd prefer the success.
That's what I'm trying to say. Success. And I also feel like I think the mid table clubs and fans that support those clubs, they like to see good players for one season, two season at a time. Like thinking like Swansea fans, for example, when Michu was playing there, they would have had a world of a time knowing that there was a guy that could, you know, go toe to toe with certain defences or whatever it is. I'm sure West Ham have that now with Piquet and Kudus. You get what I'm trying to say? So I think, I just don't really know. Obviously, I don't support those teams in it. So I'm not going to sit here and say, like, I'm not going to sit here and vouch for you or give opinions. But I'm just interested because it's like, I just saw it during the week and I just actually thought about the Zerbi. And I know that he's been put in like, the top conversations. But when I actually look at his situation right now, I do think people are being a bit harsh. Yeah. So, but yeah, we'll leave it there. For the week, obviously another episode of the Rondo. Like, subscribe, all of that. Hopefully we don't see you here again, and you know, you see us again.
We pray, man.
Yeah. Let's give a little clap for AA Junior that joined us this week.
Toby, TA, Sanjay, don't talk to me like that. You know me. Sanjay getting brave.